Kosovo special conflicts started around the May 29th. Basically, there's massive protests, conflict with police, NATO troops are involved.
Hang on. Well, just because, see, here's the thing. When we talked about Sudan, we started real simple. And here's the issue with the Balkans. Everyone who wants to report and write on the Balkans wants to tell you history lesson of why they've always been at war and the Balkan ghost, implying that all this history matters and things like that. And then they talk about this ethnic group and that ethnic group. So I just want to distill it down as simple as possible here. All right. What is going on in Kosovo? I would describe it as a type of January 6th event, similar to ones that we have seen, like with Bolsonaro. It's like a political theater play. Essentially, the country of Serbia used to have Kosovo. Kosovo is now independent. It would be similar to Taiwan in a way that people on Taiwan may not recognize that Taiwan is a country. There might be Chinese loyalists on Taiwan. Because the people who used to live in the old state are loyal in the north, they were told not to vote in an election. So that means that all Kosovarans got into the north where these mayors are who are supposed to be loyal to Belgrade, which is the capital of Serbia. Now, of course, Serbia told them to do this on purpose. The parties are basically controlled in the north of Kosovo by Serbia. So he told them to boycott it, knowing that this would happen, knowing the mayors would get elected, and knowing that he could then do a political theater play where they get mad and they go out and they protest. So just like Sudan, even though there may be violence going on and people are dying every day, well, it's more of Sudan is what I mean. People are dying every day. It's still all political theater. It was all stuff to stop things from moving forward. What do they not want to move forward? Well, Kosovo wants to join the EU. Serbia pretends that they want to join the EU. So because there's this conflict in play, it's ruining the ability to join these groups, right? Because you need to not be at war when you join most international groups. So that's really what this is all about. It's not really about elections or mayors or anything like that. It's just about blocking a country from making progress. And even the United States went to the Kosovo government and said, don't do it. Do not put the mayors in there. Do not put Kosovo loyal mayors up in there. It will escalate shit. But the thing is, if Kosovo looks like a victim, there's a strategy in that. If they look small and weak, there's a strategy in that. They're going to send, like, how much more NATO guys now?
About 600, I believe.
There you go. Now they get more NATO guys.
The thing to remember is that, like, the U.S. and the U.S. ambassador kind of alluded to this, basically just sees this as unnecessarily deteriorating any progress that can be made between Serbia and Kosovo. Like, the U.S.'s diplomatic pejorative there is to try and get Serbia to recognize Kosovo. This is a quote from the ambassador, is that it's like, cease all efforts to assist Kosovo in gaining recognitions from states that have not recognized Kosovo and in the process of integration into international organizations. What they want is for Serbia and Kosovo to have better relations. They're not at all concerned with whatever this is. They ultimately just want the tensions between Serbia and Kosovo to get better so they can just move on from this racket.
And that's why I'm saying it's so similar to Sudan, because that's all everyone wants, is just for them to stop and just to move on. Except Sudan's different because there's different things at play there, obviously. But it's just, it's a similar situation of how the political theater is set up.
Oh, look, okay. The fascist is commenting on Kosovo.
What fascist?
Giorgia Meloni.
Oh, that's actually great. Let's see what the Prime Minister of Italy has to say about it.
Remember, there are Italian troops there, so there's stuff at stake.
Bro, she's honestly like playing politician very well.
Yeah.
When she's doing international stuff. She knows how to turn off the fascism when she's out of the country.
Yeah. DW says that she's basically saying, don't attack Italians or we'll be fascist.
Okay, so this is Giorgia Meloni, fascist leader of Italy.
So Giorgia Meloni has made a statement because some Italian NATO soldiers were injured in the protests. She goes, on my behalf and on behalf of the government, I express my most sincere feelings of closeness to the Italian soldiers who were injured during the unrest in Kosovo. I also express my firmest condemnation of the attack, which took place against the KFOR mission, which also involves soldiers from other nations. What is happening is absolutely unacceptable and irresponsible. We will not tolerate further attacks on KFOR. It is essential to avoid further unilateral actions by the Kosovar authorities and that all parties involved immediately take a step back, contributing to the easing of tensions. The Italian government's commitment to peace and stability in the Western Balkans is maximum, and we will seek to continue work with our allies, basically. So pretty standard.
Might not be in an exact translation. So why does Italy? Yeah. Why do we think Italy matters here?
They're pretty close.
There's a couple reasons. The first and foremost reason is
now we can start our history lesson on all this.
The first and foremost reason, at least when we're talking about like the current situation, is the fact that there's Italian soldiers in KFOR, however you want to say it, KFOR. If Italian soldiers get injured or they're at risk in a foreign country, that obviously then becomes Italy's business. So if we're just looking at the current situation, that's what we're talking about. But if you kind of want to get into like the history of it and whatnot,
there's World War One and then World War Two.
Yeah.
Both involved Italy and the Balkans.
We could talk about how basically Italy has had an extensive role in the Balkans since World War One and World War Two. The Italian army, for example, invaded Albania in World War One. Now, granted, Kosovo, I could be wrong about this, but Kosovo was not part of Albania at this point in time. But again, you got to remember the majority of Kosovar, as they're colloquially called, I guess, are ethnic Albanians. And ultimately, that's a factor that matters to them. The thing is historically, Italy sees the Balkans as its backyard, right? Kind of like how America sees Latin America as its backyard, or Saudi Arabia sees Yemen as its backyard. The Italians see stuff that happens in the Balkans, and they're like, this is our sphere of influence right here. And it's that way because of a myriad of historical events, right?
Mostly fascism. So you want to get into the leader of Serbia, Ace?
Yeah. So Aleksandar Vučić, he is kind of at a bit of a crossroads right now between this whole situation in Kosovo and then another situation in the actual country of Serbia proper, in which there were two mass shootings in about a span of a week, which is very unusual for the country, despite them having a high level of gun ownership, most of it being illegal, from my understanding. And it's kind of coming to a head right now. You see a lot of protests in Serbia at the moment that highlight both these issues. And it's kind of showing like how fed up, I guess you could say, a bunch of different political camps in Serbia are with just the situation at home. Obviously, when you have like a situation like two mass shootings happening within a week in a country that where it's not like America where that shit just like passes by in a news cycle, it's like a tragedy. And then you have a situation in Kosovo, which both the right wing and then the left are kind of gonna use, right? A lot of people on the right see it as like, we're abandoning our Serbian brothers in Kosovo, we need to stick up for them, this, that, and the other. We need to be like the big brother Serbia, helping Serbs everywhere. You know, the whole Kosovo y Serbia kind of rhetoric.
It's similar to how Russia uses the Donbass.
Right, that's a good way to put it. And then you also have like people in other camps who are kind of like, they're kind of saying what we might be saying. Vučić is actively trying to incite nationalist tendencies and violence for the purpose of bolstering his right-wing base in mainland Serbia and in Kosovo as well. So at the end of the day, it's kind of all coming to a head from my understanding. And Vučić, his government is not at all unaware of being unpopular. During COVID, they had essentially lied about the number of people who were being affected by the virus. So people thought everything was okay. But at the same time, a lot of people didn't have access to the proper Medicare for whatever reason. You know, there weren't enough ventilators and whatnot. And this culminated into a large scale protests in Belgrade and other parts of the country, which were cracked down heavily with like police violence and police brutality. There's other things too, right? And Jack, you're going to like this, is because a lot of people say he's in the pocket of China. There have been a lot of Chinese investments in Serbia. And obviously, a lot of people don't like this. Regardless of their political views, they have different reasons for not liking this in Serbia. It makes me wonder, like, is the time ticking on them, or is this just kind of going to, like, things are just going to continue like this with Vučić?
If you really want to get into the history of what's going on here with, like, Serbia and the Balkans, we have an episode on understanding the Balkans with Tom Ward of Militant Wire. In that, we bring up this whole license plate fiasco. But I just want to share, because I think Tom Lord says it much better than anyone else here.
There are about 3,000 NATO troops in Kosovo. Serbia, under Aleksandar Vučić, would love nothing better than to forcefully go in and at least take a part of the province back. A part of it, create a buffer zone, create a, quote, safe zone for ethnic Serbs as they see it. This big dispute that's going on right now, which has been in the news in the last 3 weeks, Reuters, BBC, etc., the government in Pristina, which is the capital of Kosovo, has said, ethnic Serbs, we've been letting you guys drive in and out of the country using the vehicle registrations and the license plates from Serbia. Well, you're not in Serbia anymore. You're in Kosovo. So you get on with the goddamn program and you accept like basic bureaucratic measures such as vehicle registrations from Pristina, or you get the fuck out and you lose your license. And I'm not backing up the Pristina government by saying this. I'm being very animated. So ethnic Serbs have said, fuck you. We don't actually accept that we are in Kosovo. We don't think Kosovo is a country. Since the war in Kosovo, which ended in 98 to 99 is when it lasted, the country's basically been consolidated into the northern section is, you know, 10%, that 10% of the country, it's all Serbs. The bottom 90% is ethnic Albanians, and they share a border with the country of Albania as well. Ace brought up.
Okay, so that catches us up on what happened to predate this little fiasco. So if you want everything up to the license plate and you want to get into the history of that, you can go back and look at that video. That is episode 19 of Let Them Eat Cake.
Just like understanding the Balkans
with Tom Lord. Oh, I will. Somewhere. I will in post. I will in post, probably. I'll probably forget. If anyone cares, leave a comment telling me I forgot. People want to pretend like this is going to be an escalation, so let's humor it and just say what happens there.
Well, the thing is there are some discussions that were brought up about maybe 4 years ago, maybe a little earlier than that, but as I'm aware, it was 4 years ago. There was talks. Nothing ever really happened, but there were some meetings that there would be a land exchange between Kosovo and Serbia. What would happen is that top half of Kosovo that Tom Lord was referring to in that previous clip would go to Serbia and then exchange. Kosovo would get some of the southeast of Serbia, which has more ethnic Albanians in it. Now, the reason this didn't go through and why this is just still a proposal, we can get into why it didn't happen for a number of reasons. I mean, you would have to integrate thousands of people into a new country. You would have to set them up with passport, citizenship, etc. Obviously, there might be some people on both ends of this land exchange who are perfectly fine.
I mean, just look at the division of Pakistan and India and like how
families
were split up along the line.
Exactly. Land exchanges are just inherently not great. So again, this was a proposal that came up back in 2019, I want to say. This would have basically put that top half, that northern part of Kosovo, which holds the majority of the Serbs in Kosovo and that 10% Serbian population, into the hands of Serbia properly. And in return, southern Serbia would get the southeastern territories of Bujanovac, Medvedja, and Prševo. That's a proposal, but I don't think that would happen. I don't think anyone would agree to that. There's too much at stake when it comes to that. There's too much you can fuck up, so to speak, when it comes to things like that.
And real quick, let's get into why Kosovo is a country. Like, why is it different than Serbia and Albania? Why is it its own independent state?
Well, if you want to go back, this goes back to the Balkan Wars, right? This goes actually even back further than that.
Yeah.
If you want to stay within the context of quote unquote like modern history, Kosovo was a part of what was Yugoslavia, and it was a majority ethnic Albanian area within Yugoslavia. And then when Yugoslavia breaks up, Kosovo, this majority Albanian area, is part of the new Serbia. Now, Serbia still saw itself as the continuation of Yugoslavia for a lot of the
I don't think that attitude has really changed. I see the same government that it had back then.
Right, but throughout the wars, they saw themselves as a continuation of Yugoslavia. And what happened was, is in the 90s, there was targeted ethnic cleansing of Albanians in Kosovo. And because of this, the U.S. got involved, which led to the bombing of Belgrade. And the U.S. had to essentially step in to prevent a genocide. It was basically Serbia trying to hold on to as much territory as possible while other countries were busy splitting off from Yugoslavia. That's the point.
Well, it's been called Kosovo for a while. Why is it called Kosovo? Even back in Yugoslavia, it's the Kosovo area, right?
Right.
What makes it different besides, because like Albania is right there too. There's Albanians on both sides of the border. Why is it different?
Because it was a part of Yugoslavia for most of modern history and not part of Albania. Albania, like as we know it today, was a whole other thing. It was under the control of, what's his name, Hoxha. I hope I'm saying his name correctly, but it was under the control of Hoxha. It was its own communist regime at the time. It was undergoing its own changes. And at around the time that the Balkan Wars were happening, you know, the Yugoslav Wars were happening, things were changing in Albania that basically made it a mafia-run state, right? So they didn't really have interest in trying to gain control of Kosovo or anything like that. They were a country that was mired in violence themselves. It wasn't a priority. It's not like they had like a foreign policy agenda, you know?
How far up did the Ottoman Empire reach into there?
Well, funny you bring that up. They had reached up into Serbia. They occupied parts of modern Serbia today. They had occupied Bosnia. They had, as far as I know, had occupied Serbia for a couple hundred years. And this also brings up kind of an interesting dynamic between like Serbians and Muslims in the Balkans in general, not just Albanians, but also Bosnians, where historically they're kind of viewed as traitorous because they converted to Islam and they were more willing to, I guess you could say, work with the Ottomans, right? It's often brought up how many Ottoman viziers were Albanian, just from a historical perspective and the way like nationalism likes to warp history. Well, the Serbians see it as, well, because the Turks subjugated us for so long and the Albanians were, you know, co-conspirators with the Turks, quote unquote, the Turks being the Ottomans, they view them as the same, essentially. And a lot of it was Serbian, how would you put it, extremist propaganda and justification for genocide was rooted in the sense that they were taking revenge in a lot of ways.
And that's never a good way to do it.
Right, but that's just kind of how a lot of these people viewed it, right?
Yeah, but it's funny because it's not even like a unique train of thought. It's like ethnic tensions are hundreds of years old, right? None of this stuff is simple. And anybody trying to simplify it down to...
You mean like I did in the beginning?
Sure. Right, but to simplify it in that way, we're now giving context to it all. A lot of people will just simplify it and not understand the conflict, right? And like what we did with Sudan. But I was just reading here that apparently there was a deal in 2013 that the northern municipalities were going to be autonomous, and that hasn't been set up, and that's kind of why they're mad as well. Also, sending the 700 NATO troops will probably flare tensions a little bit more as well. So it's like all of this stuff is just building, so... Hopefully cooler heads will prevail, but often it doesn't.
And something we did reference in the episode with Tom Lord is a book called My War Criminal by Jessica Stern, who I believe was working for ICC.
She was also one of his teachers. He said at Harvard.
Yes, and she sat down and she actually interviewed one of the architects of genocide in the Balkans, a Bosnian Serb leader known as Radovan Karadzic, which those of you who are familiar with the Balkans, this name will kind of click with you. But a lot of what I was saying earlier about how a lot of it was historical, you know, Karadzic believed himself to be a descendant of a Serbian king who killed an Ottoman sultan back during the Ottoman occupation of what I believe was Kosovo. And so because of this, it kind of propelled his thought process even further, right? Even though the Karadzic guy, he was a very like intelligent dude. He was a psychiatrist. Even with his like all this psychiatric training and whatnot, he still managed to warp his own mindset and belief to kind of drive himself towards justifying genocide or denying it. That it ever happened.
So I just wanted to get into a little bit about, there is people in that northern area who don't necessarily go along with it, but they knew that they would basically be assaulted if they go out and voted anyway. Basically, the people on either side were forced to support this boycott. There's actual wars and violence in recent history, but I think Ace has talked about this before. all the people who are doing this political theater are like older generation, you know, like the younger people basically are leaving there because there's no opportunities for them. But like the younger people don't want any of this shit, or they get into it, you know, but most of them, it's just something that is like a relic of the past that nobody wants to deal with. And it's everyone's headache now.
Yeah. Right. Well, it turns out that there was only 3.5% election turnout. So that's pretty fucking low.
And just to bring it back to what you were saying about the young people, for example, I'm going to bring it over to another area in the Balkans just to kind of use it as an example. Within the country of Bosnia, there is a Serb area known as Republika Srpska. Now, within recent years, there's been a lot of flare-up of people kind of like roaming through the streets and yelling like nationalist like chants, and a lot of this has also been spurred in a sense by who's in power in Serbia, that being Vucic, right, who more or less just condones stuff like this, right? But the issue is, and a lot of people kind of saw it as like a sign that war might break out in Bosnia again, because Republika Srpska is like it's flaring up, there's people protesting in the street and chanting nationalist slogans. But the reality about Republika Srpska is that it's mostly a rural area with quite an old and aging population. The question that a lot of people ask is, who's going to be fighting this war that everyone's talking about that could break out in that region? A lot of the young people have the area. A lot of the people who still live there are quite old. So there isn't even enough like young men to like fight a war against the Bosnian state for independence. And it also gets brought up a lot in mainland Serbia, we'll call it Serbia proper, so to speak, that people will say like, oh, well, Serbia should just inherit Republika Srpska under its wing. But the thing is it's a very rural economy with not many people with like, you know, there's not a lot of skilled labor going around over there. It's not a lot of doctors and engineers and whatnot. It's mostly rural. So what would be the point of a country like Serbia integrating a part of Bosnia, that being Republika Srpska, into its country when it's more or less just kind of like a rural...
There's no value
to them, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of people in mainland Serbia are like, what would be the point of us keeping them around? But that was just kind of an example that you were bringing up, how it's like it's kind of just a chain on a lot of younger generations who may live there.
The US and NATO have basically gone like to this Kosovo for allegedly stoking tensions, because they put the mayors in anyway, mm-hmm. despite the incredibly low turnout, saying that they're undermining efforts to achieve lasting peace in the region, which, you know, take that as you will, whether that's the truth or not. I think both sides need to be criticized for this, because obviously Serbia instructing people in northern Kosovo to boycott is like, it's an escalation, but so is Kosovo installing the people who are chosen by 3.5% of that population in anyway. I feel like it should have just been abdicated and sort of left until tensions settled a bit before actually choosing. I don't think a mayor is going to change much at the end of the day. But yeah, so right now there'll be roughly 5,000 NATO troops in that northern area. Plus, I'm sure that Serbia is sending military to the border as well.
Well, I saw somebody, who was the quote that we saw, who was like sending troops to the Mexican border? What was that?
Yes, so actual like Albanian Prime Minister Edi Rama, he equated the Serbian sending troops to the Kosovo border to Mexico sending troops to the U.S. border. So as to say, it's a non-issue, it's a non-effect. What are they going to do? He basically called it out as a useless provocation, which in my opinion, it is.
Everyone, as far as like, if we're talking about people who actually do government and statesmanship, they all are recognizing this as a theater play. I really hope a majority of people kind of see through what's going on here. I would say this one is pretty much kind of a no good guys thing, but like, obviously Kosovo is not nearly as bad as the fucking Serbian government right now.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to last very long. I think they're going to be a bit angry for a little bit. I mean, realistically, if Kosovo wants to settle this, they should re-hold elections. I think that's the fairest way to go about it. But I think also the Serbians aren't very happy because NATO is guarding the Albanian mayors.
So they want to lynch them.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what they want to do. But I think they're also not very happy that they're guarding them. But the guy went into the building anyway. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Just leave. Just don't be around there. What the fuck are you doing? I think that the US, I mean, everyone's meeting with everyone. Like, the Serbian leader was meeting with China and Russia, but also met with... I think Germany, NATO, US, UK, all those people. So France, and they've met with the France, yeah. So I think that they've both met with people, and I don't think it's going to last very long. I think it's going to get settled pretty quickly.
It's all political theater.
Yeah, yeah.